It is May 27, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast includes commentary from our Hits and Takes section of JLN, stories from the First Read section of today's newsletter, a listing of the top three stories in yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series in johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Yesterday, we published an interview with Blue Ocean Technology CEO Brian Hinman about the firm and the role they play in offering electronic trading access to U.S. national market system equities during overnight hours to Asian clients. We also shot an interview with Brian at the same time for the Path to Electronic Trading video series for MarketsWiki Education. Brian has seen his career move from early days at Waterhouse Securities to an innovator in electronic trading to an early ECN that was eventually acquired by NASDAQ. We cover all of it in the video to be released soon. Also yesterday, I believe we published the last of the 30 videos we shot at FIA Boca 2022, this one of Rob Hocking of Cboe Global Markets. Hocking was talking up the new Nanos contract that Cboe launched during the Boca week. COVID is rearing its ugly head in Chicago again, and health officials declared Chicago in the high-risk category and strongly recommended residents wear masks in public indoor settings. Crane Chicago Business reported. The test positive rate for Chicago Thursday was 6%, which is probably understated because of people testing at home and not reporting. TMX Group CEO John McKenzie was the co-chair of the Women in Governance's annual Parity Recognition Gala with Jackie Parchment, CEO of Mercer Canada. TMX Group was recognized as a Women in Governance Parity Certified Organization and promoted to Silver status in 2021. McKenzie acknowledges TMX has more work to do to promote gender equality across TMX and corporate Canada. Quote, TMX is committed to developing, supporting, and promoting women across our organization and creating the conditions for women to excel, unquote, he said. Today is publication day for former FT reporter and executive director and adjunct associate professor at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business, Hal Weitzman's book, What's the Matter with Delaware? How the First State Has Favored the Rich, Powerful, and Criminal, and How It Costs Us All. It's available on Amazon and all your favorite bookstores. JLN friend Debbie Carlson has a story in MarketWatch titled, This Pacifist Faith-Based Fund Management Company is Fighting Gun Violence in Its Own Way. Advocacy has some success, but legislation is what is really needed to curb mass shootings. CFTC Commissioner Carolyn D. Pham and SEC Commissioner Hester M. Pierce collaborated on an op-ed piece in The Hill titled, Making Progress on Decentralized Regulation. It's Time to Talk About Crypto Together. TT CEO Keith Todd appeared on the May 24th YouTube edition of IPO Vid in Patrick's Opinion by Patrick Young in a video interview titled Delivering SaaS Through TT. We published our most recent video interview with Keith Todd from Boca on May 17th. FIA's Walt Lucan is encouraging all interested firms, and you should be interested, to learn about, to join the FIA's new Operations and Standards Initiative, now Derivatives Markets Institute for Standards, DMIST. DMIST has launched its membership application and associated documents, and if you sign up soon, Walt will be very grateful. Stephen T. Gannon, Lisa Weingarten Richards, and Maggie Sklar of McGonigal have a paper titled Terra/Luna, Valuable Lessons About What Stablecoins Are and Aren't. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. Our video from FIA Boca 2022. Cboe's Rob Hocking talks Nanos and new tools for the retail investor. Rob Hocking, Senior Vice President, Head of Derivative Strategy at Cboe Global Markets, met with John Lothian News at FIA Boca 2022 to discuss the explosive growth of retail investors and the launch of Nanos, a lower stakes option that Cboe has created to open the world of option trading to a wider audience. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a message from our friends at Acuity, Chicago Proprietary Trading Managers Meeting. Acuity is bringing its unique Proprietary Trading Managers Meet event to Chicago. This closed-door, invite-only meeting is exclusive to senior executives at proprietary trading firms. Acuity Managers Meetings bring together select groups of executives for an afternoon of private discussion on common challenges and networking with your peers. The event will take place on Thursday, the 23rd of June from 3 to 6 p.m. at 150 North Riverside Plaza, Chicago, Illinois, 60606, followed by drinks and an informal dinner. The event is free of charge for qualified senior executives at proprietary trading firms. However, spaces are limited, so we encourage you to secure your spot early. Request your invitation with a link in today's newsletter. Here's a story from the FT. Did a major financial institution kind of maybe slightly default in March 2020? Eisman says so. On Wednesday, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission hosted an industry roundtable to discuss FTX's proposal for a new derivatives risk management framework. Inadvertently, someone dropped a bombshell about the market turmoil of March 2020 that has triggered a spasm of speculation at FTAV Towers. My comment, here's a mystery for you, and a good reason human reasoning is an important part of the margin call process. Here's a story from Alan Burr at CISI.org, Merits of Real-Time Clearing. In modern markets, particularly in derivatives, clearing houses, now commonly referred to as central counterparty clearing houses, sit at the heart of the post-trade infrastructure between the trading environment and the settlement arena. Their essential task is to manage counterparty risk. They are the archetypical risk controllers and are vitally important participants in the complex world of wholesale financial markets. My comment, faster, better, smarter. All good. Here's a story from CNN. Why Steve Kerr's comments on Uvalde should stop you in your tracks. Sometimes it takes someone not in politics to point out the insanity that dominates our current political moment. On Tuesday night, in the wake of a school shooting in Texas that left 19 children and two adults dead, that person was Steve Kerr, the head coach of the NBA's Golden State Warriors. He was openly emotional, angry, and frustrated. My comment. I've also listened to people with the last name Kerr, as the head of the Kerr clan in Scotland holds the title of Lord Lothian. Regardless, Steve Kerr, whose father was president of American University in Beirut and was killed by a gunman there, knows tragedy and should be listened to. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Gamification took over the gig economy. Who's really winning? Rideshare drivers say the pandemic has exacerbated the imbalance with their overlords. In 2008, University of Chicago economist Richard Thaler and Harvard Law School professor Cass Sunstein published Nudge, Improving Decisions About Health, Wealth, and Happiness. It's a breezy tour through behavioral science, especially the ways in which decision-making can be shaped by what the authors call choice architecture. When a store puts sugary snacks at eye level so a customer is enticed to buy them, that's choice architecture. And when credit card companies set low minimum payments to get people to pay interest, that's choice architecture too. The book's argument is that we should enlist so-called nudges to socially beneficial ends, such as automatically enrolling workers in 401k plans. In the years since the book's release, policymakers have occasionally adopted the ideas with mixed results. My comment, anyone want to play a game of Uber? Here's another story from Bloomberg. ESG haters think climate investors are controlling everything, if only. Ignore the culture wars. The clean energy transition isn't woke. It's just inevitability. There's an idea going around that climate investing has gone too far. Call it a vibe. Most of it is political opportunism. The U.S. Republican Party has declared war on environmental, social, and governance-themed investing, or ESG, blaming it for pushing up prices and creating inflation. The story goes that climate-minded investors have worsened the energy crisis created by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Fossil fuel companies outside of Russia would have been ready to meet the world's energy needs, according to the narrative, if it wasn't for the feckless investors with wishy-washy green agendas that deprive the industry of capital. My comment. This political assault on investors is one of the stupidest things I have seen in a long time. Money talks and BS walks. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's GLN. Our top story Thursday was Bloomberg's Wall Street Traditionals spar with FTX over crypto derivatives. Second was our Marcus Wiki page for the late Carl Gilmore, for whom a gathering was held yesterday afternoon at Ceres in the CBOT building. Third was CQG joins FIA's Tech's Data Bank Network as first ISV from FIA Tech. CQG was also our Markets Wiki page of the day Thursday. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is from Bloomberg. Crypto scammers pose as journalist NFT projects on Twitter. Thieves rely on profiles that appear legitimate to dupe users. Americans reported $1.6 billion in stolen crypto last year. Internet scammers are using hijacked accounts on Twitter, Inc. to promote dubious cryptocurrency platforms that, once installed, enable them to compromise victims' sensitive data, according to new findings provided exclusively to Bloomberg News. Since March, fraudsters have impersonated journalists, crypto apps, and a variety of non-fungible token projects on Twitter in order to steal users' virtual currency, usernames, password credentials, according to research from Satnam Narang, a staff research engineer at the cybersecurity firm Tenable, Inc. Many of the target accounts are verified, an indication to investigators that scammers are either hacking specific pages, paying for illicit access, or both. Here's another story, also from Bloomberg. A new prediction market lets investors bet big on almost anything. Recently approved by the CFTC, Kalshi lets people place five-figure wagers on the outcome of the Grammys, the next COVID wave, the future SEC commissioners. What could go wrong? On November 3rd, 2020, election day, two young entrepreneurs received a call from the chairman of the Khmer Futures Trading Commission with some important news. Luana Lopes-Lara and Tariq Mansour had spent the past 18 months trying to get permission to start an ambitious and controversial new type of financial exchange, one where, rather than betting on equity prices or commodity futures, people could trade instruments tied to the outcomes of real-world events, such as the passage of legislation, the weather or on a particular day, or the winner of the best actor at the Oscars. And then finally, lastly, another story from Bloomberg. The SEC's power to police markets is under attack in court. A Fifth Circuit ruling limits one of the watchdog's enforcement tools. The same theory might make it harder to address new issues such as crypto. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission has a lot of complicated new issues on its plate, from crypto to the aftermath of the meme stock explosion. Now add this, a movement to cut back on regulators' legal authority is making headway in court. Hedge fund manager George Jarchese spent almost a decade battling an SEC in-house judge's ruling against him for allegedly misleading investors in two of his funds. On May 18th, two judges with the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit agreed that the SEC violated his constitutional right to a jury trial when it put his case before what's known as an administrative law judge. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast. And if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.